This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I appreciate you joining me as always. It's hard to believe that we are like three quarters of the way through January already. Huh?
3 weeks into the year.
Isn't it amazing, man, how time just clicks by? It'll be Christmas again before you know it. I know that's like your favorite time of year, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's there with my birthday.
Do you decorate more than your wife, or does she jump in and help?
She jumps in immediately. As soon as
things, immediately.
As soon as Halloween ends, she starts putting in stuff, and I'm like, it's way too early. Stop
She puts up Christmas stuff as soon as Halloween's over?
Yeah.
What about Thanksgiving? You haven't
got through
it yet. She
doesn't like Thanksgiving. And why? I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't get it. Oh, well, I still
you might have to take her to a counselor because, well, there may have been something traumatic that happened during Thanksgiving, Brendan.
I don't know. I'm trying to I'm figuring it out myself. I don't know.
Turkey flew at her or something like that. You know, you never know. Mm. Wild turkeys are mean.
They are. They are.
I know.
No. Yeah. I remember I went to...
And it's a big bird to have mad at you.
True. We were at... Oh, I'm trying to remember now because they were advertising there was going to be bears there, but we never got to see them. But guess what we did get to see?
Oh, no.
Wild turkeys, and they were chasing people and dogs while they were walking by. They were just simply walking by. We were just... And the wild turkeys were chasing them, being meanies and all that.
Oh, yeah. They're very territorial, too. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll go after anything, so... They're not scared of you. I'm sure you've seen some of the videos here and there, like geese chasing people and stuff like that.
Yeah, those
just
guys.
Gotta, you
those
just got to give those things a good football kick.
That's right. That'll goosey gonder, where do you pumped?
Not good stuff at all. All right, folks, this morning we appreciate you joining us here as always. Auto Talk's always fun. We come up with something. Now we're talking about crazy birds for some reason and how Brendan's wife doesn't like Thanksgiving. I don't know. Hopefully, I don't know. Does your wife listen to Auto Talk Radio?
I'll tell her, hey, we talked about you today. She goes, in a good way or bad way? both?
Both?
No, but she's
never
she's
in a
really...
bad way. Such a sweet lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, no.
Did you see my news, by the way, a couple weeks ago? On Facebook or no?
No, I don't pay a lot of attention, I'll be honest with you.
I'm going to be a dad.
Congratulations. You know what? I think I did see that.
Oh, you did see it. Okay, good. Sorry.
You know, now that it clicked, and I was like, news. So, you know, you see so many things. But
yeah. I'll announce it to the universe here. I'm going to be a dad, everybody.
Yeah,
so.
Congratulations to you and the missus.
Thank you.
Yep.
First kid, so kind of nervous.
Why?
Because I don't know what to do, and my wife keeps reminding me, there's no book on parenting. And I'm like, oh, I wish there was so badly.
Yeah, you'll do some things, and you'll think, that was wrong.
Yeah,
and you'll
of course.
Some things, and you'll think, like, score, I did a great job. I'm parent of the
something
year.
Something like that. Yeah. I'm worried because, you know, there's a lot of, I don't know, consequences when it comes to certain actions I'll be doing with the kid. Whether I
consequences?
Yeah.
Like, it sounds so official.
So what I mean is the fact that if I get a girl and she becomes a teenager, she's going to try to push me away, I feel like, sometimes.
You got
and
quite like, a few years till that happens.
Exactly. Brother. That's what I'm being reminded constantly. Like, you have nothing to worry about right now. Just worry about what's going on.
The only thing you need to learn about in the beginning is, you know, things like...
Changing diapers.
Swaddling. Changing diapers.
Yep.
Feeding, how to do formula. Making sure it's not too hot, not too cold.
I would also say suggest finding formula, because my goodness, it's completely impossible.
Is it
days.
Still?
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing it stocked more often, but, you know, with our egg shortage, along with, you know, everything
what
else.
Happened
I'm
to
not
the
surprised.
Eggs? Chickens stop laying them?
I know. I saw a funny post on Facebook saying you want to take your wife on an expensive date, and then it's the aisle of the eggs down the grocery store. That's pretty good. I love
it. Are we low on eggs, or they just rose the price of eggs?
They're low. So because of the low quantity of
chickens
them
right got now. COVID and died?
No, during the winter season, chickens lay less eggs.
So this is
on,
a so. Yearly thing, or is this a...
No. It's something going on right now in terms of like the demand, at least as far as I know of. Huh. So
interesting.
Yeah, I read a story on KUSI that it's only $1.18 for a 12-pack of eggs down in Mexico, but here in America it's five times that price. It's insane.
Being hornswoggled.
I think so. Something's going on.
Something's going on. Kind of like our price of gasoline. Crazy.
It went up 10 cents where
again?
I lived. Yeah, where I lived, like in just 1 week.
I gave up watching it. I did notice, though, a few weeks ago, gasoline was down below for premium below $5.
Yeah.
At the place I get gas, it was down like $4.92 or something like that.
So. Mm-hmm.
Impressive. Oh, I got a fun fact to talk to you about CarWise.
Oh, let's go.
Some good stuff. All my facilities are AAA approved, and I for like over 20 years. I think Escondido's 25 years. It's been AAA approved. And obviously all the other ones since they started were AAA approved. I added to them as we went, which is quite a feat. You got to get AAA approved. There's a lot of qualifications you have to follow. There's no question about it. So that being said, they often, if there's something going on, they will reach out. Something has nothing to do with us, but I mean like a car issue or something like that. So there was a AAA complaint against one of the AAA tow providers, and you're going to love this. I was like, what? And sometimes things are justified, like the car gets scratched or whatever, and then AAA steps in and they mediate, take care of that, make sure that the customer gets handled, right?
Right, right.
So they do it for auto repair too if you're a AAA member, but if your car gets towed AAA-wise also, they have that side of the house, which we have nothing to do with. But they called and they sent me an email and they said, my rep did, and I help him with this thing. He's all the tow side's reaching out. They have a question about, was it a Porsche? Yeah, it was a Porsche.
Okay.
It was a Porsche, 2019 Porsche. Forget what it was. Anyway, the guy ran the car out of gas. So the tow truck driver, they'll give you up to $10 worth of gas, which will get you off the freeway, you know, to...
At least to a gas station.
Exactly. That's the whole idea, right? That's what they do. And they do it for free. It's part of your membership. So they give this guy 3 gallons of gas, and he drives off the freeway, and goes to a gas station, puts gas in the car. This guy is claiming that because they put 87 octane fuel in his car, the 3 gallons, that it caused $16,000 worth of damage to the fuel system.
Mm.
You know what I said?
What's that?
No, it doesn't work that way. Sorry. Now, if you can sit, so the octane rating has to do with the burn rate of the fuel in the combustion chamber. That will not damage your fuel system. You know what damaged this fuel system?
It was running empty so many times, I'm assuming.
Yeah, running a direct ejected vehicle empty. Yeah, exactly. Right. So many times. You're smart, man.
Thank you.
I like having you part of the team sometimes here. So, in all seriousness.
No, yeah.
So people, this guy's trying to put one over
on AAA, the tow
provider, because AAA doesn't pay the bill when this happens.
They're just partnered with that tow company.
Well, just like they're partnered with us.
Yeah.
So they're the intermediary, you know, and this person is a member. I said, that's a guy that drives a vehicle that's trying to not have to pay for the expensive repairs he caused himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something failed on the car cause. I don't know what's wrong with the fuel system specifically, but I can tell you this, different octane gas will not damage fuels. Now, if you put like DEF fluid in the fuel system, or you put like a diesel in, it could affect them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, as far on a gasoline vehicle and vice versa, you put gasoline and diesel, that's an issue. But 87 octane to 91 octane, that's gasoline. It didn't affect the fuel system on this car.
Do you know if they'll, they'll have two different kind of gas cans then of these tow truck companies?
No.
They'll just have the 87?
There's no need to. It's 3 gallons. Go to the gas station,
put 91
octane.
What if a diesel truck just runs out of fuel on accident or something like that?
Well, they would bring diesel for that.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was wondering about that part.
Yeah, for sure. But you run a diesel truck out, you're towing it.
Yeah.
Because you have to bleed the air out of the system. It won't start.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So don't do it.
I'm not going to do it in general.
No, people that drive diesels, most of them know, don't run that truck. Besides that, direct injected vehicles now, which a diesel is a direct injected vehicle,
yes.
You run them out of fuel, you cause issues with them. So it is what it is. Now, we've had this discussion too before. It's not smart at all. It's not smart to actually... run a vehicle low on fuel either.
Right.
Because today's vehicles where is the fuel pump? It's in the tank.
Right.
The initial, the primary fuel pump's in the tank.
Gotcha.
Okay. What does the fuel do besides makes the car run? The fuel actually keeps the pump cool.
Right.
That's why they put them in the tank. They're suspended in the fuel. So the liquid helps cool the pump. Well, if you're always running the fuel at the very low bottom, it's not surrounding the pump. So therefore, the pump runs hot all the time. And guess what happens more often?
It's going to hurt.
They fail.
Yeah.
They fail. Pumps quit. So
that's why, as a rule of thumb for me, whenever I'm at a quarter of a tank, that's when I start looking for gas.
That's a good time. That's a good rule to have. Yeah.
Thank
so you fill it back
you.
Up. So it's a good way to go.
Yeah.
And you know what? Your fuel pump, 99% of the time, will last longer than somebody that runs with $5 of fuel in their car all the time.
Right. It drives me insane when people, I used to work at a gas station and people will be like, oh, just $20 and that's it. I'm like, why? I just need to get home and that's it. I don't come back and if I need it, I'll do it again.
Those people would be smart if they only had a little bit of money, if they ran their fuel to three quarters of a tank and added the $20 each time.
I agree. I could agree.
And their car would love them more for it too.
Yeah.
So it's all good. The other thing that's, do you remember fuel-wise, and this is a little awkward damage to the car or whatever, but do you remember in San Diego when the whole substation dude in Arizona, whatever happened there and all San Diego lost power?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, guess what you need to make gas come out of the pump?
Well,
electricity.
Electricity, right.
So nobody could get fuel. So those people that drove to work that go with $5 gallons of gas at a time or whatever, and then went to come home, there was some vehicles left along the freeway here and there because they ran out of fuel.
Right.
There was no way to get fuel. So think of all the things that electricity does for you.
Yeah. And we were just talking about this last week about how
the electric cars
and the charging stations not being readily available, or if they are going to be, people might have to wait such a long time that we're going to see a lot of electric vehicles possibly on the side of the road, just, you know, sitting there.
Well, it's going to be the same thing. Yeah. There's no place to charge it.
Yep.
There's no way to charge it. Every charge station I saw there was a line, and I forget where it was. It was here in California. And I think it was on Thanksgiving weekend? I forget when it was. I should write this stuff down. I really should when I take note of it. But I do remember it. It was on the news. All these people with Teslas and electric vehicles, some other electric vehicles, but a lot of Teslas, like traveling. And they're sitting at these charging stations waiting for the next guy to and they're like, there's like 30 of them in a line.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be very unhappy.
I concur.
So to fully charge that car, even on a fast charge, is an hour.
Right. I was watching a video where a guy was where he was talking to another guy. He's like, how long does it take to charge? Well, I just got here on empty, so it's going to take me 40 minutes, and I'm at a supercharger, mind you. Mm-hmm. A supercharger, and it's going to take him 40 minutes to fully charge.
Correct. So let's just call it an hour. So you got 30 cars in line. That's 30 hours worth of charging.
Yep. You're going to be sitting there for
the guy
a while.
In the
You're
back,
gonna be...
he might as well just go get a hotel and come back.
Exactly.
But then your car wouldn't be in line.
You can. Some of these cars have autopilot, maybe. I don't know.
Drive it back.
I just throw it out.
What an inconvenience.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And it's. I'm sticking to gasoline. Seriously, I'm going to make my own gasoline.
There's instructions to do it. Yeah.
I'm sure there is. It requires a lot of oil.
Yeah.
And a lot of equipment. It is what it is, you know, but... Just, I find all of this so interesting when it comes to how this is going to work. When, you know, and keep in mind, when we talk about 2035, it's not like you can't own a gas vehicle after that. It's just like the only thing being sold brand new at that point will be electric, they're stating. Now, once again, I'm thinking that's probably going to not happen.
Mm-hmm.
That law probably, you know, I do believe that they're going to... phase a lot of electric vehicles into our lives as far as that goes. They will, which is fine. But I do not see it over 33%, the 35% of people driving those vehicles.
No.
They don't work for the other 65% of us as far as that goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it sure as heck doesn't work. And I'll tell you, we seem to get off on this electric vehicle thing all the time.
No, it's okay.
But it's cool.
Yeah.
And it's what's happening now. So it's what's happening in automotive news. But a friend of mine, this was years ago. So, rest his soul, John, he used to ride with us. He was one of my friends that rode. They came out of Vegas, not Vegas, Nah. They're in Nevada, the town they lived in.
Reno?
Reno. They lived in Reno, I think. And so
I had only two other cities, by the way, in Nevada. That's all I know. Yeah. I know Nevada, Carson City, Las Vegas.
It's so Reno. Yeah. And John's since passed away. But so this had to be 5-6 years ago. I forget the other gentleman's name that lived there in Reno, and they both rode. We were doing a ride up in Washington State, up by Tillamook, where they make the cheese.
Very delicious
cheese. You should go to the Tillamook factory. It's cool. They make ice cream, too.
Yeah, I know about the ice cream, but I didn't know you can go into the factory. No, we never talked about this, but I didn't know you can go in there.
Tillamook is up there, and it's that whole town surrounds the cheese place. I mean, I think everybody works at the cheese place.
Probably.
Unless you work at something else like a gas station or, you know.
And 9 times out of 10, you're working at Boeing, too, probably. Yeah. Because they're huge there, too.
Yeah, but in Tillamook, I mean, it's a small little town.
Yeah.
That's their thing there, right? Mm-hmm. It's cool stuff. But the point I was going to make, they decided to drive his Tesla up and tow the motorcycle trailer behind it. His friends, not John. And I knew John way better than the friend. So they put the little motorcycle trailer on and two motorcycles, and they drove the Tesla, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw him, you know, I drove up in my F-250 gas truck. But so when I ran into him up there, when we got to the hotel initial first day and we were having dinner, and I said, hey, man, I said, tell me something. I said, how was the drive up in the Tesla and stuff? And he saw, never again, my friend, never again. I was like, why? What happened? You know? And he's like, check it out. So that thing gets low on charge. He's all, you pull in, you got a charging station. He says, although he's very good, he knows where he mapped out where the charging stations were before we left, so we knew.
Yeah, I hear Tesla cars are actually programmed to, you know, actually be able to program to let you know, okay, here's where you'll definitely need to charge. Here's another charge.
Correct. Right, yeah, which is good. That works out well. But here's the problem, he said. He said, you know, when we're driving our truck, like you, he says, you know, you get low on fuel. He's all, you whip into the gas station, you might get yourself a sandwich in a soda or a water or whatever, and you fill your truck up, you hop back in the truck, and you eat when drive while you're driving, right? You're making time. Here you go. You're there at the gas station for what, 15 minutes, right? Max.
Tops,
max.
Tops.
He said, that's a lot of time, right? And he says, no, so I got to eat dinner every time we had to stop to fill this thing up. Every 300 miles, it's an hour.
Yep.
He's all, so I ate like 9 dinners. He's like, it was ridiculous or whatever it was. I can't remember the mileage, but however many, so it was probably to Washington. I bet it was 1,200 miles.
I believe it. I was going to suggest maybe every charging station should have a Buc-ee's with it. You could spend hours.
Well, there obviously was restaurants there or someplace they could eat. He's like, we wasted an hour every time.
And you can't leave yet. At the gas station, eat while you're driving. And
that's what I said.
Yep.
But that's what I said. He's all, we made no distance for an hour every time we had to charge that stupid thing. So, and I don't mean to call it
stupid. Was it worth
it
in the end? Probably not.
No, he says, no, it's not worth it for that. Yeah. Now, that car is great for if you have a charging station at your house and you run around all day long around Reno where you work or whatever, and then plug it back in when you come home at night. No big deal. No inconvenience. Actually, very convenient. You never have to go to the gas station. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most amazing thing that they're good for is just your daily driving in your town where you live. They're not great traveling vehicles.
Otherwise, yeah. It's just a city vehicle.
Or you end up in a 30-man row on the way to grandma's house because you ran out of electricity and you were driving from San Diego to Sacramento or wherever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not a good thing. Not a good thing. All right, folks. We appreciate you joining us here at Auto Talk Radio. We're going to take our first break here real quick, and we'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. What a beautiful day. Made it through all the rain last week.
Yeah, that was a lot of rain that came through, didn't it? Your plants are happy, that's for sure.
I hope we're capturing a lot of this water.
I hope so, too.
You know, instead of building windmills and all those kind of things, mm-hmm. we should be building reservoirs.
You know, right now, actually, I remember last week the Garden Guys announced that we are at 130% so far for our rain for this year so far. So like,
should
we're
be saving
above.
It.
Yeah.
We're not.
Apparently our reservoirs are going up in terms of the water
levels. Oh, they will be. But if we had more reservoirs, you could save a lot of water. A lot of the water runs off to the ocean.
True.
Not a great thing, man. Why do we not do sensible things? Instead, we're building windmills.
Do you know what state we live in, sir? Sensible is not the first one.
I get so sick
California.
And tired of hearing, like, we're running out of water, man, you know, or whatever. That's because you people that are in charge didn't figure this out properly.
No.
So, yeah. No, we spent a bunch of money on a bullet train that goes nowhere, but we can't save water. I mean, we can't hold water in extra reservoirs. Why don't we make more reservoirs? Just seems like a sensible thing to do, doesn't it?
Again, you're expecting too much here.
My expectations are way off board here. All right, folks, I appreciate you joining me this morning here at Auto Talk Radio as we're talking all things automotive. As always, gonna run down a couple things transmission wise, but I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission, up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STAR certified for smog, taking care of folks in North County for almost 30 years now. That's a long time. I've gotten old quick. Actually, it's been a long run, but good stuff. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved for coming up on 10 years out there in East County taking care of folks. Good stuff, man. Just great stuff. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, AAA approved and smog certified right there in Central San Diego. Taking care of folks coming up on 6 years now. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, AAA approved and STAR certified for smog. Taking care of folks over there for 4 years now in the Golden Triangle. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy. That is, we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about for sure. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. On approved credit, of course, but great stuff to have. You can save your other credit cards, money. It's like using cash. Same, you know, there's no interest for 6 months. You break it up, it's a great way to go. And that way, when you have an unexpected repair, you have an answer on how to get it done and not have it affect your finances too heavily. You can also take advantage of our diagnosis, our CertiCare diagnosis for transmission concerns or just diagnose for any other drivability or other concern on your vehicle. We are the experts when it comes to automotive, transmission, and everything else. I'm going to tell you now, and you'll hear me say this all the time. The best money ever spent is when you spend it on a qualified technician at a quality facility to diagnose your vehicle properly. That is truly the best money ever spent. So on any repair, because it will save you thousands of dollars over time, et cetera. So make sure that you do so. Get it in, let us diagnose it properly and save you some money for sure. Get your repairs done. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by going to westautomotivegroup.com and check us all out and make appointments, et cetera, there. But that's westautomotivegroup.com. Or like I said, we send little tips out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram all the time. Automotive related, good stuff. So just go to westautomotivegroup.com. You can also check out The Auto Man, where I'm the Auto Man for the CW and the Fox 5. Or Auto Talk Radio, which you're listening to now. We post all those on our page there also. You can also check out, download all the podcasts from Apple, Google Podcast, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and TuneIn. All great places to get it. Yep, check us out at westautomotivegroup.com. Okay, we're back to what we were talking about. So much fun with electric cars and fun stuff, and why we don't have a reservoir to save the water that we just had all run off into the ocean.
Oh, well, you learn, you live. No, you don't. You don't. Not in our government, mind you. Just us.
Yeah.
As us.
You know. I have great suggestions. They should call me. So, I don't know. They might call me if we keep talking bad about him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good.
Hey, I got a couple of cool history facts for you.
Automotive,
for,
I presume.
Yeah, for automotive.
Well, last week was National Pothole Day, you said.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I remember talking about that.
That's not historic, I guess. But, you know, if you want to keep it as a historic fact, you can.
At West Automotive Group, we appreciate potholes.
Yeah,
yeah. Because the tires, alignments, things like that need to be done afterwards.
So, number one, on this day, the auto company Opel was founded today.
Opel.
Oh, I thought it was Opel.
No, it's well, maybe in Europe it is.
Oh, okay.
We call
I always heard it growing up Opel, but you might be maybe
Opel.
You're right.
Well,
Opel.
We.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Sorry.
I don't. Unless I'm wrong, but if I am, I've been wrong for 50 years.
No. You probably are right. Yeah, yeah. They started as a sewing machine company, but then.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Uh huh. And then they eventually turned into bikes and other automobiles after that.
Well, that's an awesome thing to know, because my good friend owns a big sewing machine sales company. So next time I see him, I'll be like, did you know that Opel made sewing machines back in the day?
That's right. Yeah, they started off of that one. There was another fun fact, but this has nothing to do with autos. There was a company that made windmills, and somehow they transitioned into becoming a gun manufacturer instead after that. I was like, what? How did you get from windmills to gun?
You mean old school windmills?
Correct.
Which, yeah. Didn't they, windmills back then were made to pump water, weren't they?
Correct, yeah.
So, well, that necessity kind of went away, and that's so they had to,
well,
somebody
that,
at the company was sitting there like, what are we going to do? We sold our last windmill for well, nobody's going to buy windmills anymore. They got these electric pumps that pump water now.
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out, like, how did they get from that to guns all of a sudden, though? Like,
somebody sitting there said they threw
a dart at the wall.
I have an idea. We could tool up to make guns, and they're lighter to carry.
Here's the other one, too. In 1907, I want you to guess what company this would become. Edward Murphy founded the Oakland Motor Car Company, and they would produce horse-drawn carriages. Now, the city that it was founded in is the name of the car company that it would become in 1917 when GM buys them out. Do you know which company that could be? Edward Murphy, 1907. The company is later named after the city it was founded in. You have any guesses?
I'm thinking about that one.
Do you want the state? I'll give you the state.
Sure.
Michigan.
Oh, Michigan.
So it's a city in Michigan, and it was founded in?
Is it Dearborn?
Pontiac.
Oh, Pontiac. Oh,
Pontiac was founded
today.
There
was no car named Dearborn anyway, I was like, wow, what's it? Pontiac, Michigan. That makes sense.
That's
yes.
Right. In Pontiac, Michigan, Edward Murphy founded the Oakland Motor Car in 1907, which began producing horse-drawn carriages. In 1917, General Motors was founded and began buying companies in Flint, Michigan, and started spreading, and thus Pontiac was born.
Gotcha.
The car company there, eventually.
Yeah, yeah, so Michigan was the... where almost all cars came from initially.
Right, right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That's all the fun facts
you had? Was all the fun facts.
Oh, you're easy peasy.
Yeah, but you see, I hope I taught somebody out there. So there's our segment.
Well, you did, because I'm gonna hit Ron with a, hey, you know who, what Opel used to do, the car company, what they did before?
Mm-hmm.
They sold sewing machines.
Yeah.
I don't know how that transitions, but just kind of like your windmills.
You're spinning a wheel for sewing, right? Uh-huh. And thus you can transition that into a bike eventually, too, with the whole spin. No, I'm serious. I can see the correlation with that. I can't see the correlation between the windmill and the gun company. You know, I'll look again what company that was. I learned this about like a few months ago.
Well, maybe they were making guns to shoot at vermin that would come around when they're building the windmill.
The windmills, probably.
That's a possibility. You never know. All right, folks, we're talking about all kinds of great automotive stuff. But today, your car's transmission. So one of those things you do not want to have an issue with. It is an expensive repair. Only actually probably one of the most expensive repairs you'll ever do on a vehicle, unless you have to put an engine in one. You put an engine in a car, it's usually more expensive than a transmission. But the transmission is a complex mechanical system that controls the application of power from the engine to the drive shaft. So really good stuff as far as it goes. It experienced more wear and tear over time. Keep in mind there's planetaries and gears going around and such thing consistently. By holding different items inside there through the planetary system is how you get a different gear ratios. So major issues are bound to arise if your transmission is not well maintained. And that's one of the things that we preach a lot. 18,000 to 20,000 miles is strong leaks. Not a manufacturer recommendation, but our recommendation to service the transmission, replace the filter fluid, etc. The best thing you can do to extend the life of your transmission. It's kind of like if you're a person and eating right, you know, extend your life. Taking care of your transmission, service in it, change the fluid and filter. Stay on top of it, keeps it clean. It is a hydraulic unit, which meaning so there's valves and solenoids and everything that flows through it. And transmission fluid is highly detergent and it picks up contaminants. So as items wear, little pieces of metal, little pieces of clutch material, stuff like that, it gets interlaced in the fluid and it's ran through the transmission consistently and continually. So which can cause valve body wear, because it's like sandpaper if it gets too dirty with the valve sliding on the other metal. Solenoids to plug. Lip seals and O-ring wear, because it's like, once again, sandpaper dragging it across these fine sealing components, etc. And causes wear and tear. And that's what causes transmission failure most of the time. Almost 90% of the time is not a catastrophic initial failure. It's extended wear and tear from the fluid being contaminated over time. Keep the fluid and filter clean. Extend the life of your transmission. It's that simple. As we talk about different transmission problems and concerns for sure. You find any fun transmission facts over there?
No, I didn't look that up. Sorry.
You're busy looking up other fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I see. Brendan gets on a Google tangent.
Yeah.
So, but some good things when it comes to determining what problems your car has may seem like an impossible task, but it's not. We do it all the time, especially when it comes to transmission issues. And often we get vehicles in that do not have people think it's a transmission issue. The problem with cars these days is the engine and transmission work simultaneously together, and the application together is so important that something such as a misfire from the engine can feel like a transmission issue, or a mass airflow sensor issue can cause drivability concerns that feel like a transmission. Items like this. So it's for you know, so for instance, if like your body, you have a chest pain that could be point towards any number of health issues, but if the chest pain exists in addition to difficulty breathing, then it is much more likely that asthma or something similar is the cause. Automotive problems are diagnosed in a similar manner. Problems that involve mechanical systems typically exhibit distinct sensations, sounds, and act as indicators. So, you know, when we look over things, we often, like I said, get vehicles in that people think are transmission. The worst case scenario for this is when somebody thinks they have a transmission problem and it comes out to be not a transmission problem in the end, but they've been someplace and somebody replaced the transmission thinking it was. They were thousands of dollars into a repair on a vehicle with a new transmission and it didn't fix the problem. And we've seen this. I've seen it happen for noise. BMWs used to be famous. We'd get them every now and then. They'd make this PCV whining noise, and it would be diagnosed as the front pump of the transmission was failing, and they'd go in and either replace the pump or replace the transmission. Guess what? Car still had the whining noise. Not a good thing. After about $8,000, wouldn't you be kind of upset?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely,
that's
I would be.
That's a whole month paycheck, right?
Yeah, and then they'd end up, for diagnosis, and be like, well, it's a PVC system. It's a $800 repair versus an $8,000 repair. So the PCV system on those were way more integral than the PCV that Bodie talked about on his Honda CRV last week, because on BMWs there you have to remove the intake and there was several items that have to be replaced. It's a big repair, but much better to have that repair done and get rid of the noise than it was to replace the transmission to find out that you didn't need one. So all good stuff. All right, folks, we're talking all things transmission and everything automotive related today. We're going to take our last break here real quick. I want to remind you, you're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining me here at Auto Talk Radio. I do appreciate it as we're winding through this. Man, I tell you what, time goes by fast sometimes. I love talking about cars.
Me too. It's fun. I learned something new. I looked up some transmission facts again, too, like you wanted me to last segment.
Oh, very cool. What you got?
The 1904 Sturtevant horseless carriage gearbox is often considered to be the first true automatic transmission.
Okay. Never worked on one of those, got to be honest with you.
I know. But the first mass-produced automatic transmission is from General Motors. Do you want to take a guess what it was, by any chance?
Was it a Dynaflow?
Hydramatic.
Hydramatic.
Hydramatic, well, four-speed hydraulic automatic.
Okay.
Which was introduced in 1939, excuse me.
So they called it a hydramatic. And then they came up with the Dynaflow that they did. But then later, like in the 70s and 80s, the 350 trans was a turbo hydramatic. The 400 turbo hydramatic, and it actually said hydramatic on the pan of them all. So
you're basically reading all the Wikipedia page right now, word for word.
Here. Oh, I could read. Yeah, I did 700 R4 hydramatic, the 4L60, 4L80E, 6L90. And you can go on and on and on. There's so many different transmissions. It was ridiculous. You want to talk about front wheel drive ones now? Those were just rear wheel drive ones.
Man, that's really good.
Yeah, and doing transmissions all these years, the newer ones, not so much now, but all those back in the day, like if I saw a filter, I'd be like, that's a 400. Oh, that's a 400 deep. That's in a deep pan. That's a 350 filter.
Just
that's
by the design of it?
They're all different. Ah. They all look different. Or a Ford, that's a AOD filter. That's a, we go on and on. A 4R100. Now we're talking Ford trannies. Right. Let's see. What other? You want to talk about some Dodge trannies?
We could if you want.
Talk about those too if you want. And so, and all the different. We used to. There's so much different stuff now that we would often but like sometimes I'd buy a ton of used transmissions and we'd take good parts out of them and we'd like rebuild those parts because they weren't totally blown up. So like planetary things like that for when we're rebuilding transmissions, we'd have them in stock.
But you guys don't do that anymore these days?
We rebuild transmissions, but you don't buy like that. And the reason why is there's so many different applications you'd have to have a warehouse full of stuff trying to, it's not cost effective way to do it anymore. So
there are shops I do know for sure. I think we got a call from a listener a few weeks ago that still do that kind of stuff though. Definitely up in LA for sure. A guy was telling me about.
Well, there's remanufacturing facilities now.
Yeah.
That's all they do is like remanufacture transmissions and then sell them, and they do them for manufacturers and dealers and people like us to also buy them sometimes. But and we still build transmissions here and there, but we buy the parts as we need them. We don't buy a bunch of core units to pull parts out of.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So just a different thing. What other fun fact did you find out?
Let's go to. I'll look at the dual clutch one here just for fun. Dual clutch transmission.
That's a newer thing that we're using in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
A lot of the Ford Focuses have them.
The very first car to ever use a dual clutch transmission is a 1961 Hillman Minx.
Yeah, I've heard of that before. I've never seen one.
I've never seen one either, but they look really nice. I want to go to a classic car show and see if I can.
That was probably a luxury car.
It says here that the body itself was helped by Raymond Loewy Design Organization, who was also involved in the Studebaker as well in 1953. And I love Studebakers too.
Yeah. So a lot of fun facts about a lot of GM vehicles back in the 70s and stuff. Mm-hmm. You'll see the plate on them. It says Body by Fisher.
Oh,
okay. Have you ever seen that before?
I never looked at that. I'm going to look at that more often now.
So if you, the Body by Fisher, a company named Fisher designed the bodies for a lot of those cars.
Right.
So a lot of manufacturers didn't do everything in-house back then. You know what I'm saying? They different people did different things for them.
Okay. So. I'm going to go to a classic car show today later. Maybe not in the rain. I'll wait till next weekend probably. But there's plenty of car shows every weekend in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll take a look at the Fisher and see if it says Fisher anywhere on there.
But you have to open the door? And it's on the yeah, not on the outside.
I thought it was on the outside.
No, but okay. It's on the step plate, you know, as you're getting in the car.
Yeah.
Right there. That's where it says it.
Okay.
So if you see a car with the door open, you can take a
look. Yeah, then I'll take a look.
Yeah. Yeah, or ask them, is this, especially when it was GM cars, so 70s, 60s, maybe some 80s too, I don't know. So 70s and 60s for sure. Mm-hmm. So if you see one of those, just ask the person, can you open the door to say Body by Fisher on it?
Okay. I never look at that.
Then report back.
Okay. All right.
There's all kinds of fun facts. Just some good stuff. Good stuff. Were you going somewhere with the... Oh, that was a dual clutch. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. So dual clutch transmissions. They make auto stick transmissions. They make... I mean, there's been all kinds of transmissions in the world.
Oh, yes.
And the key to all these transmissions is servicing them and taking care of them properly. If you do so, they will definitely, for sure, last a lot longer. It's what I call it is like buying insurance. So, and if there is a problem, getting it diagnosed properly. And if there is a problem with your transmission, the minute you notice a problem with your transmission, it's a great time at that point to get it figured out before you let it go, because it can get more expensive if it's something, you know. You know, it's just can save you a lot of money. If like a solenoid problem or something like that's going on, if you continue to operate it, it can cause the transmission itself to fully fail internally or cause more internal damage and get more expensive. Transmission repairs or replacements are inconvenient, stressful, and typically can be quite expensive. So it's a good idea to pay attention to any activity that seems unusual. Adhering to the recommended maintenance procedures, which we recommend to service transmission 18,000 to 20,000 miles. If you do so, you definitely will extend the life of that transmission. There's no other thing you can do for it. So it's very important to service it and keep it going. Otherwise, we do have a phase that you will get a new transmission fluid with every transmission replacement, but it's an expensive way to go versus anything else. So all good stuff. As we continue to talk about this, that is the, once again, servicing. I can't say enough about it. It's just a good way to go. And it does extend the life of your transmission, and it is very inexpensive compared to the replacement or rebuilding of a transmission. It's just way less money. So definitely great stuff. If you're having car trouble, it's important to know that the most common types of transmission problems are so that they can easily diagnose them. We do. Lack of response is one. Ever notice that while driving the car, it hesitates or refuses to go into gear? Yeah, delayed entry into gear, delayed shifting, issues like that are a sign that you need to have the transmission looked at for sure. When shifting into park or in or out, when shifting into drive or park and there's a delay before you can feel the engagement, can be a base concern. Manual transmissions can have this problem too. RPMs going up, slipping. Usually that's a clutch slipping. Manual transmission service is very simple. Once again, you're running gears on gears. So we and bearings and hardening comes off and little pieces of metal get into the fluid. So draining and replacing the fluid can extend the life of your transmission heavily. That's the only thing you can do. It's hard to say what your car will sound like if there's a transmission problem, but one thing is for sure, you'll get a I haven't felt that sound before or feeling, you know, drivability feeling or hesitation or whatever going on there, that it's going to be something that you haven't found or is not normal on your vehicle. So you'll and all I can tell you when it comes to that is the best thing you can do is get it looked at properly quickly versus letting it go, you know, humming, buzzing, whining noises. Get them checked out. And that can come from a manual or automatic transmission. Leaking fluid is another obviously one that you could you may not know where it comes from, but you'll know that, you know, transmission fluid is always red almost. Some are different, lighter color, but and a leak is probably the most recognizable symptom and should be repaired as soon as possible. Running a transmission low on fluid, whether it be a manual or automatic, can cause a severe amount of damage to the transmission and a total catastrophe if you run it low enough for long enough. So it's very important to make sure and address any leaks if you see them. The automatic transmission fluid is the lifeblood of a transmission. And same thing with manual. It lubricates, cleans, conditions, seals, and acts as hydraulic fluid for automatics and lubricates all the gears for a manual. Without it, or even if it gets low, the transmission can be damaged severely, as we discussed. So it's usually bright red in color and kind of clear. You can see through it. It smells somewhat sweet if everything's working correctly. If this is what you find on your driving, then all you need to do is fix the leak. That will swim. If the fluid is dark or has a burnt smell, then it's time to get the fluid changed. We recommend changing the fluid long before it smells or having an issue. Some folks have said to me before at 18 to 20,000 miles, oh, the fluid still looks good. That's the perfect time to service it. The perfect time to service it. Because you're removing the fluid that has some stuff suspended in, you're putting new fluid into it, and it hasn't been damaged yet. So therefore, the transmission's working well, all the components are well lubricated, and we want to keep it that way. So, and when you do a service on a transmission, just a heads up, you only get a third to half of the fluid out of the transmission, especially an automatic, because there's a torque converter that holds fluid and all that. The only way to get all the fluid out is a complete fluid exchange. And you also want to be careful about that. We never want to pressure flush a transmission or any of that. We do have machines that we have at the West Automotive Group that if we need to exchange all the transmission fluid, we can do so as far as that goes. But we don't put pressure into your transmission. It works off the transmission's own pump, supplies a reservoir of fluid for it to continually suck up brand new fluid, and out the other cooler line comes the bad fluid where it's going to the cooler. We disconnect that and run it into our reservoir to get rid of it. So in doing so, you can run the transmission and change out all the fluid. Now that's more expensive than just a service, of course, but if the fluid has started to discolor stuff, it's a great time to do it and then stay on top of it. And if you actually service your transmission every 18 to 20,000 miles, you normally keep the fluid in real good looking or order as far as that goes. So it's a great way to go. So it is a regular service and stay on top of it versus that. But if you need to exchange it all out, then you can. Let's talk about checking transmission fluid at this point. Now, a lot of cars don't even have dipsticks. We have to do it while it's running and while it's up in the air. And some are done through the bottom of the pan. Some are done through a little test port on the side of the transmission where we actually add fluid in until it runs out of that to make sure it's full. It has to be done when it's warm and operating. When it comes to an automatic transmission, manual transmissions are easier. You just usually pull the plug out on the side of the transmission, make sure the level is to the top there where it's supposed to be, and it's good to go. It definitely is the lifeblood, and definitely want to make a change out. Check the fluid level. Most people, because you have to put the car in the air, it has to be level. You have to be able to get underneath of it these days. They have removed the dipsticks from a lot of transmissions. So I get people all the time who are like, oh, there's no place to check the trans fluid. There is a place, but you have to know about it, know how to do it. And obviously, you want to be careful of randomly climbing under your car and taking plugs out of the side of the transmission. You get the wrong spot, and you can create one heck of an issue. There's no question about it with your vehicle. Back in the day, folks remember the GT Mustangs in the 80s, late 80s? They had a Borg & Warner T5 transmission in them. And there was a plug on the driver's side rear that looked like a fill plug for the transmission. Unfortunately, it was not a fill plug. And you start taking that plug out, it held the reverse lever in fifth gear and reverse lever, it was called. And when that plug, you'd get it out, you'd hear a poing, and if you did, and you really had to work at it because there was a clip on the end that's where it stuck through. It was quite long. And when it came out, that lever would fall to the bottom and you've had no fifth gear or reverse anymore. You had one through four gears. That was it. Unfortunately, we fixed a lot of those. And the reason why, not from us doing it, we knew not to take that plug out. oil change places, quick oil change places would remove that plug. They'd sell a transmission, manual transmission drain and refill, and they pull that plug out, and the lever would fall to the bottom of the transmission. And once it did, then that was it. Got to take the transmission out, take it apart to fix it. So all good stuff as far as that goes. Hey, man, I tell you what, you guys, we've burned up an hour here quickly talking about different things, transmission related and everything else. We do appreciate you joining us always here. You know, Auto Talk Radio, I enjoy doing this. I enjoy hearing from y'all and the input and everything that we get. And you guys being part of listening and tuning in is why they allow us to do this. That's one of the reasons that we really love to do it. So, and I hope I'm bringing you all great information with the transmissions. But like I said, I do appreciate your calls with everything that you call into and ask about and different items. Because sometimes there are things that I just know check-wise, as far as car wise, and I don't really think too much about it until you know, one of you guys bring it up, you know, as far as that goes. So I guess the best thing would say on this segment is, if you think you have a transmission problem, get into us, let us get it checked out. Otherwise, you know, it could get expensive. San Diego and everybody out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up, and just enjoy the weekend. And we look forward to seeing you next week back after this week flies by. You've been listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170. Until next week, take care, folks.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.